This particular incident in the life of Christ was recorded by three of the gospel writers, Mark being one of those that recorded this. It's interesting to read all three of them. You get a little more understanding as you read all of them of the greatness and how this staggered those who saw it. We'll start reading in Mark chapter 4, verse number 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, while we have three records, and only one of the men that wrote of this was possibly on the ship, and that, of course, would be Matthew, the apostle, Mark was not traveling with the Lord, nor was Luke. But all three gave an account of this. It's a very staggering miracle that he did in the presence of his apostles. While they didn't write about it, we know that Peter was probably there, as was John, and those fishermen that he called and said, Follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. And I bring that in because it was not unusual to them that there would be a sea on the Sea of Galilee. We know in Matthew 8, it happened again, and Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. It was a tempestuous thing, but they were used to that, being fishermen, and this was one of the primary sources where they obtained their fish and their business. But I want to look today at the statement that all three of these writers make. In verse 41 of our text, it says, What manner of man is this? They were terribly afraid. They feared exceedingly. The Bible says in verse 41. And the reason they feared so exceedingly because of what they'd just seen. They'd seen the Sea of Galilee. And it's said that even today, the way that sea is situated in front of those mountains, that the wind rushes down off those mountains many times and stirs up the Sea of Galilee, makes it very hard to stay afloat. Now, if some of you have never ridden a boat in a stormy condition, this wouldn't mean much to you, but it meant a lot to the apostles. And though Mark wasn't there, and though Luke wasn't there, they still recorded it because of the significance of this miracle. And they made this statement, and all three of them, you'll find it, What manner of man is this? Who is this? Now, you may think that's strange since they were apostles, but they were also men, and as you read the Bible, you know that they're very dull as far as their perception concerned, and even after Christ died, they didn't understand what was going on. And this was such a staggering miracle, and I want to preach about this today. What manner of man is this? Who is this man? How can he do this? Being a fisherman and knowing the Sea of Galilee and knowing how tempestuous it could get and how the waves could get so high and the wind could blow so fiercely. They were amazed by it, so much so that the Bible says they were really afraid, so they awoke him from his sleep. And he rebuked them, "Where's your faith?" All three accounts record that question by the Lord, "Why are you so fearful?" Now, I've been out on Harrington Lake. It doesn't compare to the Sea of Galilee, but I've been out on Harrington Lake when the winds got up. You men that are fishermen know that when the wind gets up, the first thing you do is head for shore. It can be very scary. But I wanted you to think about this morning, and I want you to follow my thinking and consider with me. Though we know this is a question that can be only partially answered. What manner of man is this? Now, this is at one point in his ministry where he demonstrated his great power. You know how hard it is to still the waves? Do you have any idea how difficult it was to stop the wind from blowing? We can't do that. We'd like to sometimes. But he spoke three words. Only three words. "Peace, be still." And the Bible says there was a great calm in one of the records. It says here, there's a great calm also in verse number 39. From the raging waves and the wind blowing, and so fearful that they were going to sink, three words are spoken, and all of a sudden everything is calm. It's peaceful. I know this is a picture of salvation. The turmoil in our life when we were unsaved and things were troubling us and we were under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. We didn't know what to do. But we called on the Lord and suddenly we had great peace. But let's think about this question. How are we going to answer a question such as this? What manner of man is this? I mean, we have the advantage of reading what was said about him. After the fact, they didn't have that. They followed him because he called them to follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They were out on the ship with him. But they didn't have the advantage that we have. They had the Old Testament. The Old Testament said very little about this kind of a situation. They thought they were going to die. So they woke him up from a sound sleep. It's so different. They're terrified. He's sleeping. What manner of man is this? Let's go back, if we could consider this for a while today. Go back to the beginning. You want to know what manner of man this is? Then let's go back to how unique he is and that he lived before he was born into this world. Now he's on a ship here like any other man, sleeping on a pillow because he was a man. He got tired. He had such a terrific schedule. You've never seen anything like it. He went from one city to another, from one problem of healing or whatever the trouble was to another. And he got tired. He was a man. But let's go back to what he was before he was born into this world as a baby. In John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, I love this passage of scripture. You may gain that from listening to me preach at times. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. He made the wind. He made the sea to act as it does when the wind hits it, to get so tumultuous. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. What manner of man is this? Well, I'll tell you, as you look in the Bible, which we have the advantage of, and we look at John's record, John tells us he lived before he was born. What was he doing when he hadn't been born yet? Yes, he was born in the manger, like any other baby, looked like any baby. But what happened before that? He was living before he was born into this world, and he was living and creating all things, including the seas. He knew about the wind because he made the wind. He still controls the wind. He made the sea. He was the only man born. He's unique in this. He was unique in that he lived before he was born. You can't accept that. You can't accept the facts of the Bible. The Bible is a book of facts. You need to accept it as facts. Don't let people cause you to doubt it. You may have your doubts, but you want to get those doubts taken care of, go to the Word of God. This wasn't written here so it would cause you to doubt. It's written here as a fact. You can believe this. We live in a day when facts are being twisted. But you can't twist this. This is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the only man that was born without an earthly father. He had a unique birth. That takes, regardless of what the world's trying to convince our young people, it takes a man and a woman to have a child. That's still true. They can twist it and make it say anything they want to, but it takes a man and a woman to have a child because that's the way God created us. But here's a man who was born into this world as any other baby, but he was born without an earthly father. And we find that recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I'll read this to you because it's a fact. Doesn't need to be doubted. Doesn't need to be questioned when you can read it. I know you can write anything on paper, but beloved, this is written by men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, that we might not have to doubt. In Luke chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now he's in Nazareth, or she's in Nazareth. She's engaged to a man named Joseph, to a virgin. She was a virgin. She'd never known a man. Espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, which means salvation, Savior. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. We'll preach about that this afternoon. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I've never been with a man before. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee. Now you can't see a spirit. It's a spirit. But the Holy Spirit was the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not Joseph. She was engaged to Joseph. They hadn't been married yet. She'd never known a man. But this man was born into this world as any other baby, with one exception. He had no earthly father. God was his father. Prior to his birth into this world, he'd already created all things. The world had been in existence for about 4,000 years before he was born into it. We also read in Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17. He made all things, he created all things for his own will, and he sustains all things. He had been sustaining this universe that he created in the beginning for 4,000 years before he was born into it. What manner of man is this? There's none like him. There's nothing to compare him with. The Bible also tells us in Ephesians, he's the head of the body, the church. He's the head. Not the Pope. Not others who claim to be the head of the church. He's the head of the church. Now, how do we know these things? We have a book that is factual. It's called The Truth. We're not embarrassed to say that this is the truth. It's God's word. It's the truth. And it should be believed, and you're endangering your own soul if you don't believe it. This is not optional. You either believe this, or you'll damn yourself to an everlasting damnation. We look at the book of facts, and we read about Mary and how she conceived. She was told what was going to happen, and it happened just exactly like she was told. Jesus Christ was born into this world without an earthly father. He had a heavenly father. That's why the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. His son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But being born into this world after 4,000 years of sustaining it, having created it in the beginning, now he's in this world, he's in the world that he made, and he begins to do things that stagger human imagination and human reasoning. He also come into this world to reveal things we cannot see. John chapter 1. Let's read this, verses 17 and 18. We're close to it. Book of John, chapter number 1. As we read a few minutes ago, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But notice what John says in verse 17 about him. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son. That's why he's called the only begotten Son. He's the only Son that God ever begot. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He came into this world to declare his Father. He led him forth into full revelation. That's why Jesus said, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. He came for that express reason. What manner of man is this? Creator, sustainer, revealer of hidden things. We can't see God. But Jesus Christ tells us what he's about. We see the works of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, my Father hath worked, and I do the works my Father did. He revealed to us who the Father is. How he thinks, how he loves, how powerful he is, how wise he is, how sovereign he is. So a man born in Bethlehem of Judah, according to Micah, Chapter 5 and verse 2, thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, city in Judea, will be exalted. It names a place where he would be born. Now, we just read to you in the Gospel of Luke, first chapter, that Mary was in Nazareth. Now, here's a problem, isn't it? He must be born in Bethlehem. So God uses a Caesar to send forth a decree that all the world should be taxed. And therefore, Joseph, being of the city of Bethlehem, had to travel to Bethlehem, and he had to do it immediately. It didn't matter that his wife was expecting. So he traveled to Bethlehem. Their city was Nazareth. But he traveled to Bethlehem to be taxed. And when he got there, Jesus was born that the scripture might be fulfilled. Bethlehem. This was a stumbling block to so many Jews all during the ministry of Jesus Christ. Even one of his own apostles said, shall any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, he didn't come out of Nazareth. He was in Nazareth. His mother and dad lived there, but when he was to be born, he was conceived in Nazareth, if you want to look at it physically. But she traveled with her husband to Bethlehem to be born in Bethlehem, and you know all the tales of that. Born in Bethlehem. But why is he called Jesus of Nazareth? Because they didn't go back to Bethlehem. After he was born, they went back to Nazareth. That was their city. The Jews stumble over this continually. No prophet can come out of Nazareth. Having been baptized at about the age of 30. Now, there's obscurity in the life of Jesus Christ. It's a strange thing. He lived in this world, never sinned. We'll deal with that later. But he lived in this world for 30 years before he ever began his ministry. That was to fulfill the scriptures. That's the way the high priest did. That's what the prophets did. They couldn't just automatically begin doing their work. They had to be at the age of 30. Jesus lived for 30 years. He was a carpenter's son. He worked with his father. Is not this the son of the carpenter? Is not his mother Mary? Are not his brethren? And you can name them all when you read the scriptures. They look like a normal family, but what manner of man is this? He wasn't like his brothers nor his sisters. He was unique. He was different. The Bible tells us when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven. You know this. You've heard it. Matthew chapter 3. He walked about 60-some miles to be baptized of John the Baptist. From Nazareth all the way down into Judea, where John was baptizing in the River Jordan. And when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and lighted on him, and he began his ministry. The Bible tells us in John chapter 20 and chapter 21 that the world could not contain the books that should be written to record everything that Jesus did in a little over 3 years. The miracles that he performed, the healings that he performed, the lame were made to walk, the blind were made to see, the deaf were made to hear. All the miracles that he performed, including this miracle that we just read about. In a little over three years, he did all these things. What manner of man is this? He went to the cross of Calvary. By the Roman power, he was condemned to die. He could calm the winds and the seas. They obeyed him. The evil spirits of demons obeyed him. He cast out all those thousands of spirits in the maniac of Gadara. Thousands of them. He lived without sin. Peter tells us that Peter was probably as close to him as any of them. John, of course, was also very close to the Lord. But Peter says he had no guile. He was not deceitful. He had no sin. He lived a life of about 33 years with never once sinning. You know anybody like that? You know any human being that ever lived that kind of an age and didn't sin one time? Didn't even have an evil thought? You don't. You can't. What manner of man is this? He is unique. He's here for a purpose. He's God in flesh. And after he had lived a perfect life, he offered it to God in our place. Peter says he bare our sins in his body on the tree. Peter says he lived without sin. He never sinned. And then he said he bare our sin in the same verse. Took our sins on his back, figuratively speaking, carried him up to the cross, satisfied God's demand for perfection. God demands it. We can't fulfill what God demands, but he did. He lived without sin, and then he offered himself without sin to God that we might be saved. What manner of man is this? He's the Savior. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope of all mankind. And when he satisfied everything that God demanded, he says in John 19, verse 30, it's finished. You know, it doesn't take a long sentence to really describe a wonderful thing. Jesus said, "Peace be still." The wind stopped blowing. The sea lay down flat. It says in one of the other Gospels, it just lay down flat. Three words, "Peace be still." What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? They obeyed him. When he had satisfied every demand of God for the sins of every person who will ever believe the message that he left us, "Look unto me. Come to me, and I'll give you everlasting life." He satisfied God's demand for payment, a holy life. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." That's God's decree. It'll never change. It'll never be overlooked. It'll never be twisted. It cannot be in any way changed. You must be perfect to come to God. He was buried in a rich man's grave that he might fulfill the scriptures. He spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth that he might fulfill the scriptures. And then he arose from the dead. Proof that as at the beginning, God was his earthly father, or his heavenly father, gave him a body. Hebrews chapter 10. "Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." God prepared him a body. He indwelt that body. He fulfilled every demand of God. He lived without sin. And then he offered himself and satisfied God for everything that I failed in. And when he rose from the grave, there's a passage in Psalm 2, verse 7. I'll not turn and read it, but it reads like this: "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." It's not talking about his birth. It's talking about when he came out of the grave. God gave him a spiritual human body. You see, he's alive today. He's in a body. He's in a body that can appear in the midst of his apostles without coming through the door. Proof that at the beginning he was the only begotten Son of God. God says in Psalm 2, "This day have I begotten thee," and he's talking about the resurrection out of the dead. Acts 13, verses 33 through 36, Paul used that when he began on his first missionary journey. He quoted that from Psalm 2 to the Jews who would not believe on him. Yet with all that I've said, I've only scratched the surface. As I said when I began, we could never answer this question, what manner of man is this? A man who will someday raise all the dead. Every person that's ever born into this world, lived and died, and been put in the ground, will come out at his voice. Peace be still. What happened? When he says, come forth, what's going to happen? Everybody who's ever dead, ever died at that time, will come forth in the first resurrection or the second resurrection. What manner of man is this? We can't explain him. We can marvel at him. He came to save us. He came to do what we could never do. But beloved, he's coming again. He's coming back. He left in shame, in the sense that the world mocked him and made fun of him, spit on him, cried for him to come down from the cross. He left despised and rejected by the world, but he's coming back. And every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's without exception. All over the face of this earth, this man is real. The facts about him are true. There's no need to doubt it. He's a man who has an eternal kingdom. All that's going on today is just preparation. As I said, I'll preach on this afternoon. All the kingdoms of this world are going to be given unto him. What manner of man is this? He's God-man, still God-man, and he's going to reign over men on this earth that we live on. Only this man could bring such a kingdom into existence. Kingdoms have been warring back and forth since the beginning of time, struggling for ascendancy, wanting to rule over everybody, never been able to do it. But this man will bring about a kingdom on this earth, an everlasting kingdom. We could never exhaust this question, what manner of man is this? There's so much more I'd love to say, but I can't do it for lack of time. But everything you see, everything you know, was brought about by him. And he's in control of it. Every man, person on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ is controlling them. He has power over them. He's going to be their judge someday. He's going to judge you if you're here and lost. He knows your thoughts afar off before you even think them. The good and the bad. Their question goes unanswered because we can't answer it. What manner of man is this? And I would remind you, after seeing this, and I believe most of the apostles saw this, and they told Mark and they told Luke, no doubt, and they wrote these things down for us. But after seeing this, when Jesus died, they scattered abroad. Having seen the type of miracles that they saw, they didn't think he could ever die. But they didn't understand the scriptures. They didn't know what the Old Testament scriptures were saying. They didn't believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I must go to Jerusalem. I must be spit upon. I must be rejected. I must be judged and condemned. I must die. Who could ever answer this question? What manner of man is this? I'll just say this to you in closing. Whether you can answer the question or not, you're going to see him. You're going to see him. You're going to know what kind of man he is. You can stand in his presence with confidence, with love in your heart, because you know he loved you and he died for you. You'll stand before him with trembling, with fear, knowing that you rejected him. You heard the message, but you were too busy. You never really considered the message at all. You never considered his power to calm the sea instantly. You never considered his problem, his miracles performed over and over again throughout the New Testament, written for our admonition, and to be factual, all that he did condemns you. And one day you're going to look into his eyes. And you're going to see what manner of man he is. Right now he offers you forgiveness. But if you reject that, the day is coming when he will withdraw that. And he'll offer you judgment. You know where to find that in Revelation chapter 20. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You think it'd just be one or two people? No, it's all the dead that were born of the seed of Adam, standing before God, looking at the person who performed these miracles, who staggered them so tremendously that they cried out, "What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the ocean, the seas, obey his commands." If the winds and the oceans and the seas and this whole universe obey his command, believe me, you can't reject. When he stands before you, you'll not reject his command. And he told us about this. "Depart, you wicked, from my presence." May God instill this understanding in your heart. This man, you must deal with. You can't avoid him. You can't get away from him. You know this is true. It's in you. He created it in you. You know what I'm saying is true. You're going to have to deal with him. Better now than later. But you will deal with him. May God help you today, if you're not saved, to understand this. May God help all of us who are saved to deal with this. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He loved us. He died for us. May we return that love the best of our ability. Bow your heads, please. Father, thank you.